Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we are loaded on a Wednesday, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. 1 hour from now, Joel Klatt yells at me. 30 minutes from now, Nick Wright yells at me. Nick Swisher stopping by today. Jonathan Vilma, Jane Slater on the Cowboys mess. What a great way to start the World Series. Joy Taylor, how are you?
That was a fun game last night.
Between the Lakers winning the championship and the Dodgers now raking it in the World Series, I was saying last night, I don't leave home unless you promise me a ring. I don't even leave the house now unless I got a ring or a parade schedule.
Mookie Betts is just
spectacular.
Lord.
I'm going to get to Mookie in a second. Let me start with this. So during our show yesterday, the story came out. Jane Slater, she'll be on our show later. Great reporter on the Cowboys for years. Multiple players saying our coaches are unprepared. They don't teach. We don't buy into it. And Mike McCarthy came out yesterday and he said, well, you know, it's the system. We've got a new system. And, you know, a lot of people are defending Mike McCarthy. It is a new system. I would like to see a system where the players quit, because that's what's happening in Dallas. That must be a revolutionary new system I'm not up on. Players quit. Arizona scored on a end of the game handoff that was trying to kill the clock. It's not just about losing. Brian Flores lost last year. And we kept saying over and over, boy, they are getting better every week. I'd said it about the New York Giants this year. The New York Giants are losing, but they're getting a little better every week. The players are buying in. The Bengals this year have a win and a tie. They look really promising. Cliff Kingsbury last year was 5-11, but nobody was calling him out with a new system. It was like, you know what? He's a really good fit for Kyler Murray. Mike McCarthy's a bad fit right now in the NFL. Dallas players aren't playing hard. Last five games, they've given up 39, 38, 49, 34, 38. And you know what? We should not have been surprised by this. My bad. Because the most front-facing public figure in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, had open contempt for him for 3 years. Because when Mike McCarthy, who won a Super Bowl, got fired in Green Bay, no takers. And then he started doing something that I've always been skeptical of. My entire life. He started trying too hard to tell you he was current. My wife always says that. Colin, you got to stay current. And it's like, that's good because I've always liked new music. I don't listen to classic rock and roll. I'll listen to anything. I don't care if it's new country, new hip hop. I like new music. It's just my makeup. That's what I like. I like new stuff. I don't collect baseball cards. I don't collect anything. That's just not my thing. So, and staying current matters because I used to work at a company. Four letters, not going to get into it. But in the last 10 years, there's been a big pivot in our business from just TV to digital. And some people, some executives, it's natural. They like new stuff. It's in their DNA. They love digital. They love podcasting. Then a lot of guys fake it. They panic. They got two kids in college. They got to save money. And they're dinosaurs. And that's Mike McCarthy. He's trying to tell you how progressive he is. Andy Reid's been progressive for a decade. He doesn't need his buddies in the media to sell it. Pete Carroll is letting Russ cook. He's going against what his whole career. He's Pete Carroll. He got fired in the NFL before the USC job. He started going to these classes. He broke down his football coaching. He started over again. And it's really who, if you know Pete the surfer, it's who Pete is. Belichick's always been highly academic. Belichick's always been ahead of the curve, always moving ahead of the curve. He was the first guy to like midfield, fourth down. We're going for it. It's natural. It's not for Mike McCarthy, but he's trying to sell you on it. And I think Mike McCarthy, who's still a fairly young guy, got fired in Green Bay and he got scared. I've seen executives in my business do this. They panic and they're trying to sell you. They love the new world and they really don't. Mike McCarthy admitted it at the press conference when he got hired by the Dallas Cowboys. He did. McCarthy.
I need to confess. I mean, I told Jerry I watched every play of the 2019 season, but I wanted the job. I have. I haven't watched every play of the season, but it was just, I mean, you do what you got to do, right?
It's like the dad whose daughter forces him to go on TikTok, and he pretends like he likes it, but he doesn't really like it. It's not him. And I'm not saying it's for everybody. But a couple of weeks ago, Joy was here. I kept saying McCarthy was going to the podium after games and during the week. And he was dropping all this, like, analytic jargon. And it was like, dude, you're trying way too hard to sell me on it. Andy Reid, for 10 years, spends his offseason, he'll send me pictures of it, drawing up his plays. He loves it. It's who he is. He's not faking it. He doesn't talk about it at the podium. I am always suspicious of people who are trying to sell me something. If you go to a really nice car dealership or a really nice boat dealership, you go to a Mercedes dealership or, you know, like high end, you know what they do? Look around. They're not selling you. We got the best stuff. Look around. But you go to a used car salesman, this Prelude, maybe a 1988, it runs like a top. Push, sell, push, sell. You're trying too hard. Turn off. Mike McCarthy's trying too hard to sell his system. Trying too hard to tell you he's into analytics. It's not who he is. And that's okay. Some people get to 55 years old and they're done. And they don't want to grow. I see it all the time with political people. They talk about politics. Some people just grab on the past. They romanticize the past. They're not growers. They're not curious. It's just not who they are. They just want to go to their country club, play golf with people just like them. And that's fine. There's a lot of room in America for that. And then there are people like Bill Belichick who are just academically curious. His mom spoke 7 languages. It's in his DNA, his genetics. Bill is just a thinker. He's always moving. Andy Reid and the Pete Carroll. By the way, Nick Saban's the same way. Nick Saban is always trying new stuff on offense, considering he's almost 70 years old. McCarthy's one of those guys. He hit 55, and now he's panicking, and now he's desperate. Now he's trying to sell you on, hey, use lingo and jargon. And it's like, no, dude, this is not who you are. This is players. And by the way, players aren't buying it. Dallas players aren't buying it. It's not losing. Miami's not really a good football team. They've beaten the Jets. They've beaten the Jags. They beat a beat-up 49ers team. Miami's not really a great team. They weren't a great team last year. But incrementally, every week, they get a little better. And that tells you they buy in. They buy in. Arizona, same thing. They're buying in to Cliff Kingsbury. They're buying in to Brian Flores. These Cowboys are out. They are Seacrest out. They're not buying this stuff. All right. There's a lot of good baseball players. There's a lot of stars in baseball, and they're very productive. Nobody quite like Mookie Betts of the Dodgers. Dodgers have been good for years, and they got a bunch of stars. They never had Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is baseball in the 70s and 80s. Fast, some power, can hit. Last night's classic. Gets on base. Steals second, steals third, scores on a chopper with the infield pulled in. That's 70s, 80s baseball. There were a lot of guys that played like Mookie Betts in the 70s, 80s. They weren't as good as Mookie Betts. But this guy is juice. This guy is energy. There are 19 guys in Major League Baseball right now with one of these absurd 10, 11, 12-year contracts. There's two I do it with. Mike Trout and Mookie Betts. And in fact, if I was the Angels, I would have sold Trout because he's so expensive for the Angels, not a huge revenue team. He'll probably limit their upside going down, you know, down through the years. Mookie Betts is a 12-year contract. That's a 10-year contract. That is a catalyst. By the way, a lot of guys, Giancarlo Stanton for the Yankees is a great player. He's not a leader. He hits bombs. This reminds me of the 49ers for years and years and years. The San Francisco 49ers were good, and they couldn't beat the Cowboys. They couldn't beat the Dallas Cowboys, and they went out and got Deion Sanders, and they won a Super Bowl. And it was like they had a bunch of great players. Niners had great players everywhere. The Cowboys had great players and a little juice. And Deion was the energy. He was the juice. He was sort of the swagger. He was the catalyst. And suddenly the Niners were unbeatable. There are a lot of guys in baseball are productive, and we call them stars. They're fast but have no power. They got power, but they got no speed. Mookie is the 5-tool. He does everything well. He literally, in a roster full of stars, plays the game differently. Cody Bellinger said it after the game. if you're a baseball diehard or you're a casual baseball fan, which I am, if you can't spot that, I mean, that's an easy one. That is, I understood the Red Sox, you know, it's a lot of money, and the Red Sox are kind of cutting back and trimming payroll. I get it. And I don't understand almost all of these 19 guys in baseball with these absurd 10-year contracts. They're all garbage. None of them are worth it. This guy, that's a 10-year contract or a 12-year contract. Boom, I'll sign off on it. Cody Bellinger after.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. It's so fun to watch, and we're so lucky to have him on our team. I just say, like, he's a superstar guy, superstar talent, but he does all the little things right, and it's you can really learn from that when a guy's that good and he just wants to win and, like I said, just continues to do the small things that go unnoticed by a lot of people, maybe not, but it's really special.
And again, Bellinger's a star, Seager's a star, Clayton Kershaw was great last night, Dodgers won 8-3, but when you watch this team, they have been so good for years. They just put a catalyst. They just put energy and juice in this operation. And I said it yesterday, if you gave the Dodgers a closer and their bullpen's not good and this is going to be a good series, it's not going to be quick because the Dodgers bullpen is bad enough, it's going to give up leads. You know, Tampa's going to come from behind and win a game or two in this series and it's not over. But what you're seeing there is it reminded me so much of 70s and 80s baseball. Get on, steal second, steal third, cat and mouse, manipulate the game. A run scored that shouldn't score. That 99 out of 100 players in baseball can't do that. A lot of guys can hit home runs. A lot of guys can run. They can't do that. And he also won the Braves series with two or three unbelievable defensive plays. Dodgers are here because of Mookie Betts. Dodgers have been good for years. They are here and leading in the series because of Mookie Betts. Clayton Kershaw also good last night.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Listen, it's easy to just, you know, have no solutions and bang on the Cowboys. And I think they have the wrong coach. I don't think it's right. I don't think the players buy it. Great reporting by Jane Slater yesterday. I think the Cowboys are in a rebuild. I think their owner has to admit they're in a rebuild, and this is the downside to having an owner as a general manager. Jerry's often very busy doing local radio hits on Monday. Oh, boy. Let's offer a solution in this rebuild. Where the Cowboys deep? Wide receiver. Really deep. Cedric Wilson's their four. Cedric Wilson can play. Amari's a really good player. Michael Gallup is excellent. CeeDee Lamb is really talented. It's time to trade Michael Gallup. Third year of a four-year contract. You're going to have to pay him pretty quick. You need cap help, and you need to rebuild, and you do not need a fourth really good wide receiver. CeeDee Lamb looks potentially spectacular. Cedric Wilson can absolutely play as a great three, and Amari's a one. Trade him. You're 2-4. It doesn't matter if you can win the division. You're in a rebuild. The Ravens desperately need another two receiver. Chicago after Allen Robinson. With Tariq Cohen out. The more Chicago wins, Chicago's got the coach, the defense, and one star. The Bears and the Ravens are dying for a number two receiver. I'll tell you another one. The Green Bay Packers. The Colts. These are good teams. I think the Patriots, but they probably wouldn't do it, right? They don't spend on anything. They already got burned by Mohamed Sanu. They probably won't do it. But, you know, I remember as a kid hearing this. First step for an alcoholic is admitting they're an alcoholic. And the first step in the NFL to a rebuild is admitting, we're in a rebuild. The Giants are admitting it. Washington's admitting it. Miami, by the way, going with Tua. They're admitting it. Miami's like, hey, they can make the playoffs. But they know we're still in the rebuild mode. And that's okay. My entire life watching the NFL, at least 25% of the NFL's in a rebuild. Joy's been watching it forever. There's always like seven teams in a rebuild. Dallas is. They just don't want to admit it. Arizona is. Crush Dallas in Dallas, and they're in a rebuild. So to me, Amari Cooper, excellent. Cedric Wilson, shockingly good. CeeDee Lamb, you just took him in the first round. Get him more looks. You are more than good enough at wide receiver. And Michael Gallup, it's funny how this works. For whatever reason at the trading deadline, it's always this way. You got teams that are good, Chicago and Baltimore good. But they feel like, man, how do we beat Patrick Mahomes? We got it. Michael Gallup's a big physical receiver. He's a big red zone presence. He can go deep. That is where Baltimore, that can't beat Kansas City, in their eyes, it's not going to be a guard. They got plenty of running back. It's going to be like, can we get a cheap touchdown? Because Kansas City, we got to outscore them. Can we get a cheap touchdown? Chicago, similarly, looks at Green Bay and looks at Aaron Rodgers and like, okay, we're at a deficit when we play Green Bay because of Aaron Rodgers. How do we solve the deficit? Allen Robinson's a great one. Gallup's a number two. It's like, okay, now we may have a better one and two than Green Bay at wide receiver to elevate Nick Foles. This is the way, I don't know why it is wide receiver, but that's always the position at the trading deadline where a good team goes, okay, there's this offense in our conference. There's this offense in our division. There's this quarterback in our division. And if you're Baltimore and you're like Big Ben's on fire plus that defense, and you look around, Tannehill's on fire. Michael Gallup's a really attractive piece. Get a second-round pick for him. You probably won't get a player because good teams don't want to give up player. Go get a second-round pick. Then next year, you got a first and 2 seconds. That's 3 starters. Get them all on defense. But you got to admit you're in a rebuild because you are. Peter King, I asked Peter King yesterday, like, what does this organization have to do to get back to where they were about 4 years ago where they had a bunch of good young players? I mean, right now, the Cowboys' offensive line is old. Their defensive line, the best player is Alden Smith. They have one corner I like. The rest of the secondary you can have. They have a tight end who's capable but not special. When you have like when your offensive and defensive lines are issues, you're officially rebuilding. I don't care who's at quarterback. If your offensive and defensive lines are old, average, beat up, you're rebuilding. Peter King yesterday.
The way you solve it, I think, is going back to the same kind of meat and potatoes that made them pick Zach Martin over Johnny Manziel in the draft. That's what they have to do. They can't be emotional about their team right now. And they are playing right now without three of the five building blocks on your offensive line right now. With the offensive line they put on the field, they're incapable of being a dominant team.
They are. It's rebuild time. Jerry, get off local radio. Call the Bears GM. Call the Ravens GM. Start the rebuild now. I don't care if you're going to win the division. You're going to get – if you did, you're going to get – the Giants today may win that division. You'd get baked if you got into the playoffs anyway.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I've always said this about real estate agents. Take out their best year and their worst year. That's who they are. If you take out quarterbacks, real estate agents, any real estate agent could have a big year. They sell a mansion. And they could also have a bad year. They get sick. Their mom gets sick. They got to take care of business. Their kids. I mean, COVID. You know, nobody buying a house, right? I feel the same with quarterbacks. Take out Matt Ryan's rookie year and his MVP year. That's what he is, which is B. He was never that good. You take out Aaron Rodgers' MVP year and his rookie year, he's still a Hall of Famer. Everybody can be great and everybody can struggle. What are you? If you take out Baker Mayfield's games against the Cincinnati Bengals the last 3 years, the worst defense historically in the history of the league, two of those years, right? Here's his numbers as an NFL quarterback. Passer rating 83, 47 TDs, 35 picks, 12 and 18. Mary Kay Cabot pointed this out today. Excellent reporter in Cleveland, has been for over a decade. He's 4-1 against the Bengals. 25% of his career wins are against Cincinnati. He's playing them again this weekend. He's going to play the Bengals, Raiders, Texans next 3 weeks. Lousy defenses. I'm sure he'll be fine. But let me ask you this. As a number one pick, what's special? Arm? No. Accuracy? No. Size? No. Athleticism? No. You got to give me special. Lamar can be a number one pick. Oh, my Lord. Big Ben. They call him Big Ben, his size. Number one pick. Josh Allen. Mahomes' arm. To be a number one pick, you got it. There's something I'm like, oh, I've never seen that before. You could make an argument Josh Allen could be a number one pick. He's 6'6 and has a rocking arm. I wouldn't have picked him number one, but you could argue it. Justin Herbert, kid's a rock. He's got a monster arm, a 4-point biology student. With Baker, I always said, he's a second, third round pick. People said, Drew Brees is his comp. Drew was a second round pick, and he ain't Drew Brees. Tua's got some Drew Brees. Leadership, accuracy, commitment, maturity. Tua's got a little Drew Brees. Isn't Drew Brees. But Mary Kay Cabot saying today is basically, she's not a columnist. She's a reporter. Like you got to beat somebody besides the Bengals. If after last week when he looked overwhelmed, there are those now that question, this is the Trubisky situation. where they didn't believe in Trubisky, and they told you they loved him, but they wouldn't pick up his extension. They're like, no. You know, trust people's actions, not their words. And by the way, if you look, John Dorsey, remember when he picked him? And I didn't buy into this. He said, I like his swagger. Swagger is a negative unless you're great. Cam Newton and Andrew Luck could have swagger. But what do you call a guy with swagger with no game? You call him a poser. Swagger is totally overrated. Joe Burrow could have swagger. You watch, you're like, okay, you go buy into that stuff. Mookie Betts could have swagger. You can't have swagger as a double-A shortstop, if that's what you are, because then you're a pretender. And I think with Baker, all that swagger, he would have been much better served to be more humble. If Lamar wanted to give you a little swagger, well, you're not going to catch him. So you could yell and scream at him, but you will as you're running and chasing him. Like the swagger thing, I never bought into that argument. So it's just interesting. Trent Dilfer, by the way, talked about Baker. You know, I'm not jumping off the Baker bandwagon because I was never on it, but here's Dilfer.
I think a lot of people that weren't as high on Baker coming out are starting to see some of their evaluation stuff come to light. He's rushing things. I mean, the pick six is literally a high school mistake. If my quarterback threw it to one robber on an in-breaking route, I'd lose my mind. It can be fixed. I will say this. I'm not moving off of Baker. I think he can be a fantastic rhythm quarterback in the NFL if he's willing to learn these things, grow his physical confidence, and the system supports the type of player he needs to be.
Yeah. Again, I'm not jumping off it. I've never been on it. But at this point, I wouldn't pick up his extension. All right, now is a great time every week because, you know, I see myself as a little bit of a soothsayer. You know, I take the American anxiety and I bring down and offer wisdom, and I feel like I'm hosting a class for the next 15 minutes. I'm making America smarter. I don't know. I bring in one of my students, Joel Klatt, the voice of college football for Fox Sports. Former, by the way, preferred walk-on for Colorado that set all their records, so at least he has the guile and toughness I prefer.
I tell you what, did you notice how slowly I walked on the stage today? I didn't have any swagger coming up here.
I love that.
There you
now,
go.
Now, let me stop this. I'm hearing a lot of this stuff.
A lot of what stuff? Let's hear it.
Oh,
come on.
Mac Jones, Alabama. He's the next Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Those wide receivers at Alabama. They're all NFL wide receivers.
Whoa.
They are good.
Time out. Who was Joe Burrow throwing to last year? I'm sorry. Was he throwing to the Little Sisters of the Poor? No, it was Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and Terrace Marshall
good
and
players.
Thaddeus Moth. And he had Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the backfield.
So
he had Joe Brady as a passing game coordinator, an excellent, aggressive coordinator. And that's exactly what Mac Jones
so
has, and
the,
maybe even to a greater degree.
So you think Mac Jones is the next Burrow? This Alabama kid.
And my comparison, so yeah, Colin is taking issue with a comparison that I made on social media, and I think he could have a Joe Burrow-esque season 2.0.
Well,
I don't think he's as good as Joe Burrow, but I will say this. He is making some unbelievable throws. He's big.
Well, that one right there gets picked in the NFL.
Oh, okay. Yeah, since you know, because you've taken how many snaps in
that,
any pocket? Zero.
Look at that lollipop.
That was a beautiful throw. The throw to Devontae Smith to put him up 41-24 was excellent. Bottom line to me is that he's got the tools around him to have one of those seasons that is special and at times remarkable.
That ball's picked in the NFL.
Yeah, but it's not, Colin, because it's man coverage and there's not a safety in the middle of the field. So it depends. How about that throw?
What's your
commentary on that throw?
Yeah, but the catch.
Over the perfect coverage. I'm sorry that he's so bad. Look at that throw. That's terrible.
Perfect throw over the outside shoulder against
Georgia, who's, by the 24/7 composite, the most talented team in college football. All I'm trying to say is that Mac is having an unbelievable season. Right now, he's ahead of Joe Burrow in rating of what Joe Burrow did last year. He's ahead of him in yards per game. He's ahead of him in completion percentage.
Yeah.
He's having a Burrow-esque season, in particular when you think of these two guys as kind of middling, average, older quarterbacks in college football, and then all of a sudden they have this wow splash season. He's doing some things that are remarkable. Did you know, wouldn't you say Alabama's maybe the most or one of the most storied programs in college football history?
Yeah, of course.
Wouldn't you agree with that? Okay, there's been 7 400-yard passing games in the history of Alabama football.
He's got 5.
He's got 3 of them in the last 3 games.
All right.
So save it with your Mac Jones hate.
Yeah, I was on Burrow from the very beginning.
I bet you were.
Okay.
I bet you were when he was at LSU, when he was transferring.
I loved him.
In fact, I wish we had this tape right now.
Yeah.
I sat here and verbatim, this man, your soothsayer over here, said, and Joey, you'll remember this. He said, if you can't beat out Dwayne Haskins, then I don't think I'm not going to waste a pick on you. And you criticized Burrow for having to transfer from Ohio State to LSU after you realized that he did transfer from Ohio State to LSU. I know this is embarrassing, but these are facts, folks. Facts do not care about Colin's feelings at this point. Hey. He said all of those things about Burrow. Do not let him trick you into thinking that he was some sort of train engineer tooting his way down the Joe Burrow train, because that was not happening.
What? I offered a little sense of humor in the show. One of us can laugh occasionally.
Well, you just bring up falsities, I have to pounce.
When you get opportunities.
Well, yes, that's right.
Right.
So
Ohio State, I like mock drafts. A lot of NFL execs rely on me to give them information later as we get closer. So I am into mock drafts.
You're
totally. I'm a total nerd. Goulet's been dealing with this for a decade. It's all I do at night.
I love it.
Ohio State's got five guys going in the first round. And I think to myself, well, Harbaugh ain't beating him this year.
Now,
last year, all you guys, you know, were saying, oh, it's the best team ever. The biggest bet I've ever made in college football, I took Clemson over Ohio State. I went public on it. I said, the best Big Ten team ever is not beating Clemson, so I don't want to hear that. I thought they were good last year. But there are whispers that Ohio State's better this year than last year.
I'm not sure yet. Offensively, I think that they can
be. Justin Fields a year older.
He's a year older. He's got an incredible offensive line in front of him. They have to replace J.K. Dobbins, who is an incredible running back, right? But they get Trey Sermon, the transfer from Oklahoma, and they have Master Teague, a highly rated player that's been in their program. And they, by the way, they signed four of the top 10 or 15 wide receivers in the country last year. And that's to pair with a guy in Garrett Wilson who was a five-star. Chris Olave, who's turned into an absolute star. They're going to be an unbelievable offense. You know, questions remain about their defense, though. Let's be honest.
Well, no.
You
got to
replace Okuda and Chase Young, Damon Arnett, Fuller in the back end.
You know what's really interesting about this? And you'll like my all these
we'll
power.
See. You always say you'll like this.
You'll really like this. And this is where I feel like wisdom. So Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson have mostly been known. And let's just stick with Bama and Ohio State historically. They run the ball defense. They have both programs have brilliantly pivoted. I think Alabama now, I'm like, it's all receivers. It was corners 4 years ago. Is that Ohio State and Alabama, very smart. They have pivoted. They are getting unbelievable. It used to be, it's hard when you're a traditional power. Like I always give the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin credit. Like to go to Pittsburgh and say, now we're going to be a passing team.
Sure.
This is what we are now. We're going to throw 60 times. That's what Andy Reid did in Philadelphia. He got pushback. It's a blue-collar town.
That's right.
And he's like, no, it's 3rd-and-1 I'm throwing. Well, and Ohio State and Alabama, the quality of receivers is insane.
So you would argue that like necessity is the mother of all invention, right? Well, in football, losses are the mother of all invention. Guys do not move away from their tried and true blueprint unless they lose.
That's a good one by you.
And I would argue that the JT Barrett Ohio State playoff team a few years ago that got trounced by Clemson in the Fiesta Bowl and it wasn't close, that's when it started to be like, okay, we can't just be the quarterback-oriented spread team of the Tim Tebow Florida years and then the early Ohio States. We can't just do that and win championships. When Deshaun Watson and Clemson beat Alabama in a shootout, Nick Saban's like, okay, maybe we can't against teams like that who have equal talent to us just play defense and run the football like we did against Texas when Colt McCoy was injured to win a national championship, or against the Manti Te'o Notre Dame team to win a national championship. Losses are the mother of all invention and progress in football. And you see that even Bill Belichick has had to win Super Bowls with several different styles of teams, defensive-oriented, running-oriented, passing-oriented. And now you're seeing some of these programs, these blue bloods, and maybe more specifically Nick Saban, they've had to morph, change, progress into a team that can go and win a shootout against five-star recruits. Like, for instance, last week, Alabama is down 24-20 in the last 5 minutes of the third quarter. Okay, Georgia's playing well, with their short quarterback, and they're playing really well. In the span of 5 minutes, the game completely changed. Guess what it changed on?
Deep balls.
Great quarterback play, great wide receiver play. One team had it, the other didn't.
Yep.
Okay, so it was a couple of plays for Georgia. They miss them, and all of a sudden, Alabama capitalizes with what? The deep ball, the extraordinary talent on the outside. So I think that those two games, Clemson has single-handedly changed the blue bloods in this sport, because they, Dabo Sweeney, went out there and beat up JT Barrett's Ohio State team under Urban Meyer in a playoff, and Ohio State knew, hey, we got to change, we got to do something. Yeah. They bring in Ryan Day, they get better throwing the football, and then Deshaun Watson's teams beat Alabama in the national championship game, and Nick Saban's like, you know what? I'm going to have to win a shootout. Ole Miss is doing it to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to win a shootout.
Yeah, your best 3 minutes ever on the show. Let's get back to me. So,
that's such a good line.
Let's.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to pick on Nebraska. So I look at, here's how I look
yes,
at the
you
word.
Do.
No, I don't. No, don't.
Don't preface
are,
it.
They're
he loves
very.
It.
Listen,
like,
I have
just
a lot
bring
of,
up Iowa. Any like listen, Midwestern team, no. Go ahead, be like, just puff your chest out and be who you are.
No.
Don't
I
apologize
have a
for being who you are.
A lot of friends who are farmers.
You're a listen. Coastal elitist. Just be proud of it. You talked about, hey, no winter, only winters in L.A. Just be yourself. Come
okay,
on.
Okay,
come
Nebraska
on.
Stinks.
There you go.
The point being, we have to be reasonable now.
Okay? With Nebraska.
No. We've got 3 to 4 programs in this country that are different. And you pointed out this last week. Bama's different. Clemson's different. Ohio State's different. And it's usually...
Maybe Georgia.
That's
right
what I think.
There.
Georgia or LSU will stock up. Okay?
Yeah.
Then everybody else, Michigan, Nebraska, Notre Dame, these are good, proud programs. But when I watch Michigan play Ohio State, and I'm going to watch Ohio State play Nebraska this weekend, these are proud programs. It's a different sport.
Yeah, they're not close right now.
Not even
Michigan. And I don't even think Nebraska is close to Michigan, to be honest. To be fair, to Michigan. But Michigan is not at this juncture close to Ohio State. Let me just give you a quick stat. This will show you the gap between Ohio State and everybody else in the Big Ten. There are 20 players in the Big Ten conference overall that were 5-star recruits right now, currently, okay,
yes.
On rosters.
Let me guess.
Okay.
So there's 25. I follow.
20 5-star recruits in all of the Big Ten.
I bet you Ohio State has 16.
14. Close. Very close. 14 of 20. Like, you look at it in the ACC. The ACC has 15 total 5-star recruits in their conference as we currently talk here today. Guess how many play at Clemson? 11. Right? The gap between Clemson and the ACC and Ohio State and the rest of the Big Ten is monumental, right? It's so large right now. And Nebraska, unfortunately for them, Scott Frost, when he got to Nebraska, well, I think what everyone's starting to realize is that this was a way bigger rebuild than anyone imagined.
He
this
had
is
better
a
talent.
Foundational rebuild.
He had better talent in his small Florida school.
That's right. 100%. He had better talent and speed, in particular on defense. Some of them are in the NFL right now. Shaq Griffin and the like at UCF when they went undefeated and hung a championship banner. His rebuild right now in Nebraska, and part of it is, by the way, Nebraska panicked and they got outside of their identity. That's a problem for a program. I talk about Wisconsin always having success because they know who they are.
Yeah.
Nebraska chased it with Bill Callahan, and then, I mean – it got
you gotta know who you
it
are.
Got messy with Nebraska.
Voice of college football, Joel Klatt, he and Gus Johnson. Jenny, of course, going to be there for Nebraska and Ohio State.
Yeah.
Two things now. Let's focus on this.
I've got a good almost upset. I've got a really good close game.
So Joy and I found a huge disagreement.
Oh, I side with Joy.
Can I present it?
So I mean,
Trevor
it's not
Lawrence,
help,
once but. A decade, we get a player at the most important position. John Elway was that player. And John's like, no, I'm not playing for you. I'm not playing. Eli did it from American royalty, Manning family. I'm not playing for you. John Elway and Eli have Super Bowls. Trevor Lawrence says, I ain't going back to Clemson. Jets, you haven't earned my respect. I'm not going to you. I totally support the kid.
I completely support him for pulling any leverage that he can because and this is what you failed miserably to explain in your Baker Mayfield rant before I came on, is that fit matters, right? Like, fit matters. Where you're going to – is there stability in the coaching staff? Is there stability in the front office? Because you can be a really good player to great player, and it's really tough to overcome those things.
Oh, tough?
That's why –
it's virtually impossible.
Andrew Luck had success right away in Indianapolis – because of two things. He was great, historically great as a prospect, And that was a good organization that was coming right off of the Manning area. It was Manning's neck.
Then they made a couple of mistakes.
It was the reason they were in the position that they were, right? So if I was Trevor Lawrence, so I hate it if this means that I'm agreeing with you. I would pull any leverage that I had to try to end up in the most advantageous place that I could if I was him.
Boy, really going out on a limb on that one. Jeez, Louise.
Was that different from you? You want him to just go
play?
No,
I don't think he should just go to the Jets. I think he should explore his options. But I do think it's a different world than Elway's NFL and the Manning's
NFL. Well,
one
of us is pro-employee. If you want to stick up for the corporations, go ahead. That's not how I roll. Finally.
Well, think about it. The guy should be in the NFL right now. He's a starter right now.
He would have been the number one pick 2 years ago.
This league, the NFL, it's not the NCAA, by the way, folks. This league prevents him from earning a living. It's not the NCAA. It's the NFL. The collective bargaining agreement between the Players Association and the NFL banned players from coming into the NFL before a certain date, their birthday, okay? It's the NFL. Bottom line is, if they're going to ban you from earning a living until a certain point and you have any leverage going into that league, pull it.
Finally, let's go. Now, again, audience, I call upsets. This is what I do for a living. Courage. Joel gives you one that... No, no, it could get a little close.
I mean, we're trying to play coy. I'm giving you dogs that'll cover. Do you want me to spell it out? Do you want me to spell it out now? Well, we've lost our cover, Goulet. The almost upset
what
was a
it?
Fun little deal. Pitt's getting 11, number one rush defense in the country against a Notre Dame team that's really struggling throwing the football. They struggled against Louisville. They didn't throw it very well. They had to run it basically the entire second half against a Pitt team that's given up well under, I think it's under 80 yards per game.
Do you know, I don't criticize.
I give you covers out there. Jeez. Why do you have to make it?
We should be sponsored by Fox Bet. So I met Ian Book's dad.
Notre Dame quarterback's dad. Do you want me to come shake your hand?
No, I'll tell you, I met him, and we had a very good conversation.
What was it about?
About football. We talked X's and O's and schematics.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you talk about?
We just talked about some
your mock draft?
Ins and outs and flag patterns and bubble screens.
You know the last time I heard anything called a flag pattern?
All right, Klatt, get on a plane and go. You and Gus and Jenny have a great time with that game.
We will.
Noon, we Fox. Will. All right, let me read this. Saturday, noon, Fox, Nebraska.
That's all I have to say every week. Saturday, noon, Fox. That's where I'll be.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Jonathan Vilma played a decade in the NFL. He was a three-time Pro Bowler. He's in the Saints Hall of Fame. And now we're lucky enough to have him as a Fox Sports NFL analyst. He'll be doing the Packers-Texans game this week. It's one of my favorite bets of the year. I'll tell you now, I like Green Bay in this game. My reason is always good teams that get humiliated have an ornery week of practice. And I'm going to bring Jonathan in because he's going to be doing that game. And he is now joining us live, Fox Sports NFL analyst. So I am sure in your career, Saints and Jets, you were on some good teams and you laid an egg. You got pushed around. It happens, man. A couple of turnovers, you're on the road. Boom, it's done. What is Packer practice been like this week? What is it like to be a good team? Because bad teams get blown out all the time. But on a good team that gets blown out.
You know, it's actually very player-driven this week because good teams have prideful players. They don't like getting embarrassed. Aaron Rodgers doesn't like getting embarrassed. I've been on teams where I got pushed around by the Baltimore Ravens, had to play the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta on a Monday night to secure a playoff spot. And that whole week was about Drew Brees and myself figuring out, okay, we need to make these corrections and get it done. It was less about the coaches, you know, coming down on us with the cracking the whip, because we knew what we need to do. We're very prideful. So someone like Aaron Rodgers, I promise you, he's getting the receivers together, the tight ends together, offensive line to block better. There's not a lot of screaming and yelling going on. It's a lot of focus. It's a lot of driven, player-driven focus, because there's a prideful team that's going to now, I mean, watch out. You just mentioned, watch out, Houston, because there's a team that is pissed off and ready to go.
Interesting answer. So, Jonathan, when there's a difference between not all locker rooms are great. Most are. I think most locker rooms, if you got a problem with a coach or a coordinator, you confront him. That's just kind of what we do, right? But now Dallas has leaks publicly. And I said this earlier. It doesn't matter if it's a White House or a football team or a corporation. If there's leaks, somebody doubts the guy at the top. Somebody's questioning leadership. Have you ever been in a locker room in your 10 years when stuff was leaking? And I mean, I don't know how. What do you do if you're a player and you're in the middle of a season. You could still win their division. Like, if you ever had to confront that, leaks from your locker room.
I had to confront it one time with the Jets, and it was really just addressing the whole team because you never really know who's saying it. But you mentioned that there's no trust in the leadership. What the real issue is there's no family trust amongst the team because you have a bunch of individual contractors right now. The best teams I've been a part of, whether it was in college or in the NFL, the teams had trust. It was a family atmosphere. So you handle things like a family, right? You get in an argument with your brother or sister, it stays right there. You don't go and tell the next person that you've never met before or some reporter about the fight you just had with your brother. That's not what you do. You have the fight, you squash it, and then you figure out how to move on. And right now, the first issue, the biggest issue, is that Mike McCarthy has not gained the trust of his team. And because of that, he has a bunch of individual contractors and players, coaches as well. Everyone is looking out for self right now, as opposed to figuring out a way to come together as a family and get the job done.
Did you ever have a coach, you don't have to name him, that, because some of the quotes were, these coaches don't teach. Did you ever have a coach, a position coach in your career that you just thought was bad at his job?
I did. I won't name names. And what they mean by they don't teach, you have coaches going back to this, you know, looking out for self now. What the coaches will do, and I've been in this situation before, they will purposely not put you in the best position to be productive and make plays. And why are they doing that? Because when assessment time comes at the end of the year, whenever it is for them, they're going to say, oh, I didn't have the right players. If you give me the right players, then I can run my scheme. And if I have the right players to run my scheme, then we can win games. So right now, you're giving me players that I can't use to win games. I can't coach with these guys. They're uncoachable. They're this, they're that. And that's where some of the, if you want to dive deeper, where some of these players are saying they don't teach, that could be one of the issues. The other issue could be they just stink. They're just bad coaches. That could be another issue. I don't know what's going on specifically, but I've seen the former of what I talked about, where coaches purposely not allowing you to be in a position to make plays so that when the assessment time comes, they're telling everyone else, oh, yeah, he was uncoachable. Yeah, give me somebody else. Give me a better guy, and then I can coach him up and we can go.
That's really fascinating. And you know that happens. I mean, that's happening in every industry. Protectionism, protect my stuff, protect my career. Jonathan Vilma joining us. So it's interesting. We all know Tua is the future of the Dolphins. Like, we get it. But if I was a veteran player, I'm not really interested in the growth thing. I want to win Sunday, and Ryan Fitzpatrick's winning games, and I'm thinking, I love Tua. But that's a kid, and I like my man who's been in the league 10 years plus. Do you think there's a few guys in the Dolphins locker room, they may like Tua, but they're like, he's not as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick today. He may be in a year, but he doesn't help us Sunday. Do you think there's a little bit of that?
Well, here's the question. Is Ryan Fitzpatrick really going to give you another 6, 7, 8 wins? Is he really going to rip that off? Because – if he was consistently always able to give you 6, 7, 8, 9 wins a year, then there wouldn't be this issue of having the number 5 pick being drafted by the Dolphins, right? So if I'm a veteran, I'm saying, yeah, hey, Fitzpatrick has been great. Fitzmagic has been great the past couple weeks. But I also know there could be 3 or 4 weeks where we're just scratching our heads like, man, what is he doing out there, right? And that's the truth. That's been his career. He's had some great games. He's had some horrible games. And so you look and you're saying, well, that's the future. What I believe has happened, same thing that happened with Tua back in college, is that he's performing so well in practice, they're like, we got to play him. Remember, Jalen Hurts, he led Alabama to a national title or close to it, lost only 2 games. They bench him at halftime of the national championship game because they're like, we got to play this guy. He is that good. He's the number 5 pick after being hurt. Everyone knows the arm talent is there. Their smarts are there. So I can understand why they're like, look, we got to play this guy. Just get him out there. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, I trust Brian Flores. He's been right so far. So I have no reason not to trust him. So it's interesting. I was talking earlier about this. Belichick's a great coach, obviously, but he struggles drafting wide receivers. N'Keal Harry is, I mean, there's been like 7 receivers drafted after N'Keal Harry, and they're all great. Yeah. They're not even just they're great. And is N'Keal Harry a bust? Who knows? I don't. But he's struggling. How long did it take you, Jonathan, as an NFL player, a smart guy, that you were in the NFL, to look around and go, that dude can't play. Like that, and I'm not saying N'Keal Harry's a bust yet, but how long did it take players to spot a guy, a first rounder, a second rounder, and think, man, dude, he just can't play.
So there's two ways to look at it. If it's the first way where he just doesn't have the athleticism, you spot that, you know, like that. You're like, uh-oh, this is just a bad pick. He can't run. It's either he can't run, he's not physical. One of these combinations, right? And that we can spot quickly. The tough one is if he has all the ability and you're saying, all right, when is the light going to turn on in his head? When is the NFL light going to turn on in his head?
Yeah.
Where he's like, all right, I got it. And it takes some time for some guys, right? And, you know, a great example, I go back to one of my good friends, former teammate Reggie Wayne. Remember Reggie Wayne's first couple of years, everyone's like, what's going on? And then Reggie Wayne, boom, turned it on, should be a Hall of Famer sooner than later. So, you know, you just never really know if it's the mental part. If it's the athletic part, which I don't think it is, you know, athletically, then it's not there. And I'd be very surprised if Belichick missed on the athleticism. It's all the other intangibles that may not be showing up just yet.
Yeah, by the way, you were Defensive Rookie of the Year. So you were a guy that popped very, very early out of Miami. Finally, I've been critical of Baker Mayfield. I said it before. If I'm going to take a quarterback number one, there's got to be something. If you'd have taken Lamar number one, even if I didn't agree, I would say, well, he's going to be the fastest player on his team. Josh Allen, I had real questions about. But he's 6'6 with a huge arm. Like, I wouldn't have agreed with it, but I'm like, I get it. I've always said this with Baker. He's a little small. He's not very accurate. He's not that athletic. I don't love some of the leadership swagger. I am not a big fan of some of that stuff. I watched him last week, and he looked overwhelmed. I mean, he looked absolutely physically overwhelmed. They're not going to announce it, but do you think there are people, 25% of his wins in the NFL are against Cincinnati. Do you think there are players on that roster that are like, dude, we got nothing but talent here. We got nothing but players here. Do you think there's doubt creeping in on Baker in that huddle on Sundays?
Man, that's a good question. There's definitely doubt creeping in. What the best thing you mentioned, though, was all the other intangibles, his character, his leadership qualities, his skill set. You know, those all start to play a factor when you talk about doubt. Because it's one thing to just not have a good game. It's one thing to, you know, you're just off, right? You're just off for that day and it's not working. They bench you and whatever it is. It's another thing when you make it a point to be out in the media. You make it a point to have these, you know, real boisterous kind of celebrations and stuff like that. And a lot of this attention is on you. And I'm saying as a quarterback, you already know the attention's on you. You get all the attention. You're the quarterback of one of 32 teams in the NFL. You don't need extra attention. What you need to do is lead and be a great teammate, because as you perform, the attention's going to come to you anyway. And so that's where the doubt starts to set in, when there's all these other extracurricular things going on and you're trying to figure out, man, just play ball. If you just play ball, like you mentioned Lamar Jackson, he just plays ball, and look how much attention comes to him. All he cares about is just playing good football, being a good teammate. He gets all of everything else. So if there's ever doubt, if he has a bad game, all his teammates are going to rally around him because he rallies around them. And I don't get the sense from Baker Mayfield that he rallies around his teammates. He really wants to be a team player. And in essence, that's where the doubt is starting to set in.
Such good stuff. Jonathan Vilma, Fox Sports. Lucky to have you. He's got the Packers-Texans game Sunday at 1 on Fox. Happy for you. You put the time in, man, as a player and as a broadcaster, and I really appreciate it, Jonathan. Thanks for coming on.